Today is November the 20th, Friday, and Mark wanted to have a discussion this evening entitled
Politics.
Politics. Now, if I were going to call this discussion a name, I'd call it Politics, Religion, or Truth. Politics, Religion, or Truth. Had a little brunch with a friend of mine today that I've known for years and years and years, and I respect this gentleman a lot. Seems to be very much searching for truth and sensitive to the truth. And I think that's what all Christians should be doing, is searching for the truth through the Word of God. We've talked so many times on this broadcast about how that our society is so into feelings and so into tolerance and so into not hurting anybody. And there's really some biblical mandate to that. The Bible says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, think on these things. It's hard with what's going on around us today to think on those kinds of things. With political corruption at an all-time high, even this gentleman that I was having a discussion with talked about how that the awesomeness of God's love compared to even the magnificence of the universe is beyond our explanation. But he even stated that there were reprobates now in our political offices and in our government, which I was amazed, frankly, to hear him say that. But one of the things that I want to bring out tonight, and I brought out with this gentleman, is that we cannot pass off biblical instruction in the Bible. We can't pass it off with just saying it's a different interpretation from somebody who sees it differently. There's certain things in the Bible that are black and white. It's just that simple. There's certain things in the Bible that if you take out of the Bible, it changes the whole meaning of the Word of God. I was sharing with the same gentleman that a number of years ago, I have a friend down in Tennessee, and I was talking with him on the phone, and he said to me that he had a friend of his that was a roommate with him in college or something, and this roommate was constantly talking about doctrine, and he said he got sick and tired of him always talking about doctrine. Today, everybody's talking about feelings. And the moment you start bringing up anything doctrinally, they don't want to hear it. They want to run the other way. And they say it's all about interpretation. But it isn't all about interpretation. It's about, thus saith the Lord. Now, the other side of it is, which I have a tendency to be guilty of, and that is, if we stress too much on doctrine and not upon the spirit of the matter in which we convey it, we're also in trouble. The Bible says, though, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. The Holy Spirit is magnificent in the way that it comes to us and speaks to us. And we have to examine in these devious times we're living in whether we're listening to the Spirit this world, the spirit of Satan, or we're listening to the Spirit of God. The Bible says that in the last time, the last days, that God is going to send strong delusions that people will believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. And so, it is a very, we are living in very, very perilous times right now. Because the church world at large is more concerned about everybody getting along and feeling good and having that cushy, cushy feeling than having the truth of the Bible. Now, Mark talked about politics. Well, right now in Copenhagen, they're getting ready to pass a bill that's going to throw the United States into a global government, a new world order. And it's all around this Copenhagen federal or world dominance of the earth, protecting Mother Earth. Now, any Christian that you talk to, if you ask them if we should be for conservation and taking care of our earth, of course we should want to take care of our earth. But not at the expense of embracing all world religions, not at the expense of committing idolatry against our God, spiritual adultery, not at the expense of embracing things that are contrary to the Bible. And so, it's, you know, I tell you, it's amazing to me sometimes when we're talking to people, they have a very strong resistance to talking about certain things. And let me give you just the one thing that's paramount. Now, I know that as Christians we should all be salt and light in the world. We should be a witness of the truth that Jesus Christ died on a cross and he came to save sinners. But the thing that is so dangerous is when people start promoting a free offer of the gospel without any doctrinal stipulations on it. Let me give you an example. If you're passing out tracts that say God loves everybody, you are passing out tracts that is a lie, because God does not love everybody. God loves those for whom he has chosen in him from the foundation of the world. God loves those for whom he died. God loves those for whom the Father has given him his people. God loves those for whom he's adopted. God loves those for whom he has implanted belief and faith in their hearts. Have you ever had anyone ask you the question, what does it mean when it says the Spirit bloweth where it listeth and no man knoweth the sound thereof? So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night and your conscience through the Holy Spirit has convicted you of some sin? And we know that that comes from the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God working in our conscience and our hearts. And if we respond from the heart in repentance, that also is from God. It's not from ourselves. God's the one that grants us repentance. You know, sometimes I think that we have to be careful. If we apologize just because we want to feel good, we can get in the flesh over that. But if we're truly convicted of something and we are to apologize to someone about something or deal with an issue with someone about something, that's something totally different. Now, we're talking tonight about politics, religion, or truth. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are very, very brilliant scholars. They understand Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. They understand syntax. They understand the Greek lexicon. And they could write a book on systematic theology. However, they are not born again by the Spirit of God. And so they are absent of being regenerated by the Spirit of God, those people who are into just being into religion. On the flip side of that, there are people out there that have been born again, but they have absolutely no understanding of sound doctrine. And there's a danger. Now, we know that if they're born in the Spirit of God, God will lead them into all truth. We know that if they're born of the Spirit of God, that God is going to be their guiding light throughout their whole life, just like He was with Joseph. We're talking today about the difference between providence and foreknowledge. It's one thing for God to know how we're going to respond to something. It's something else for God to providentially work in the life of Joseph and then here his father comes down to the end of his life, Jacob, and he is told that Joseph wasn't dead. He wasn't killed by a wild animal. And that he is second in command next to Pharaoh in all of Egypt. The truth versus religion is a remarkable thing. The truth of the matter is that God, for all of His people, chose them before the foundation of the world. They should be conformed to the image of His Son. Now that confirmation or the conforming doesn't happen in one swoop. It's not a one-time experience. We talked about that today. You know, one doesn't get saved and that's it. God's grace, the Bible says His mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Without the continued mercy and grace of God, we would all falter and fail. And we all falter and fail as with the grace of God. Many people are very angry at God. They're very upset with God because they don't feel like that He dealt them a good deck of cards in their life. They feel like they've been given a bad deck. And they contend with their maker and their potter, and they're carrying around that anger with them every day. They're resentful of their life, and they compare themselves with other people who have apparently had more blessings in their life, more material blessings, more health, more maybe better family relationships and a lot of things. But if we're truly a child of God, our attitude should be even so, Father, because it seemed good in thy sight. We may not understand when it says all things work together for good to them that love God and them who are called according to his purpose. But that does mean what it says when it says all things work together for good for them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. That means all things, even though they don't seem good. But they work together for good, for our good. We're talking about politics, truth, or religion. Politically, correctness, political correctness dictates one response. Religiosity dictates another response. Truth dictates a different response. We've talked about it before, but if we knew that up the road there was a barricade and we were driving at 80 miles an hour and we knew the people behind us didn't know about the barricade, we would certainly want to warn them that there was a barricade up ahead. Some of us seem like we have the attitude, let them go ahead and run in the barricade. It doesn't affect me. I know about it. Why should I tell them? The Bible says, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. It says there'll come a time when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but they will heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will be turned unto fables. That is the barricade we're talking about up ahead. It's here with us right now. It's before us. Now, we've talked about this total misdefinition of what constitutes love. Love in most people's eyes is something that is without any stipulations. Now God sent his Son into the world, and there were some stipulations on his Son. One is stipulation was that his Son would have to go through absolute torture and torment and sorrow. He would have nails through his hands and through his feet. He would have a spear pierce his side. He would have a crown of thorns placed on his head. He would be beaten and whipped and spit upon. That was the condition. Jesus Christ did not come down here and have no conditions from his Father in terms of his obedience. He endured the suffering of the cross. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. You know, sometimes we need to be reminded that God the Father gave his only begotten Son, knowing that he would have to go through all of that torture and pain and suffering. But yet he knew the end result would be a ransomed people. And he knew that his Son would freely lay down his life and that he could freely take it up again. So the result of Christ's obedience was not only a miracle, but the dividends were far beyond the cost of Christ's suffering. For Christ suffered in time, but people like the Roman Catholic Church wants to make it so he suffers over and over and over again. Hebrews tells us that he entered once into the holy place making a sacrifice for sin, and sat down at the right hand of God. And he's making intercession for us. Today, Jesus Christ is interceding for his people. There is a balance between doctrine and the spirit of how we convey the doctrine. I'm going to repeat that. There is a balance between sound doctrine and how we in spirit convey the doctrine. And I'm learning that continually. And I'm not talking about have you ever heard anyone speak and they had doctrine down to a T? But there was something in their spirit that seemed vindictive and angry and hateful. Jesus Christ at the cross was not vindictive or angry or hateful. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Stephen, when he was being stoned, was not vindictive, angry, or hateful. He said, "Lay not this sin to their charge." And that should be our attitude as Christians, not the attitude that Paul had of chopping the ear off of the servant of the high priest. When we sing "Onward, Christian Soldiers," it shouldn't mean that we have our spears drawn, ready to plunge into someone that comes against us. We are not to take up swords. Christ said, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another. And I know that I'm preaching to myself. Sometimes we regret some of the actions we've taken in our life. Maybe in a spontaneous way we've done something that later we regret. And we can't take it back. Sometimes forgiveness is not easy to, you know, we seek God's face for forgiveness. Sometimes people aren't as quick to forgive as we are. Sometimes they hold resentments. And sometimes it's hard to forget. Sometimes people are willing to forgive, but they're unwilling to forget. Or they're unable to forget. But tonight we're talking about the contrast between politics, meaning what people want. You know, for so many years, the attitude has been the majority rules. But you know what? That's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. For a long time in religion, it's been whoever has the most memberships is correct in their religion. That's not Christianity. But truth is Christianity. And what is truth? That's what Pilate asked. What is truth? Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus Christ made a lot of very strong doctrinal affirmations about who he was and what his ministry was about while he was here on this earth. Jesus Christ said, "I come from the Father. I came to do the will of the Father who sent me. I and my Father are one." And if you recall, when he was delivering that message, they took up stones to kill him, stoning. The question that we should be asking ourselves is, are we actually adhering to and upholding the Jesus Christ of the Bible? Or have we recreated another Christ in our mind that's a figment of our imagination? the Jesus Christ of the Bible was not only doctrinally correct, but he also was a God of love, a God of justice, and a God of mercy. There was no one, and never has been anyone on the face of the earth, that has been more long-suffering and merciful than Jesus Christ. And that includes Gandhi, that includes Muhammad, that includes the Indian religion and all the Buddhas, that includes the Hindu religion, that includes, because Jesus Christ laid his life down. He laid his life down freely. He gave of himself. He emptied of himself. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. There's no other religion that can even come close to the love portrayed and expressed and showed by Jesus Christ, our Savior, if you're one of God's people. But he did not, because of the love he showed, he did not in any way minimize the importance of doctrinal truth. He did not compromise doctrinal truth. Just because he showed love, he did not compromise the truth of the gospel. And, you know, when I talk to people on a daily basis, I'm amazed at how many people refuse to accept the truths contained in the Bible, especially as it relates to predestination and election, effectual calling, original sin, total depravity, irresistible grace, and the final perseverance of the saints. And they get very adamant and very angry and hostile when we try to interject that into the conversation. Much of Christ's ministry was dealing with those very doctrinal concepts. And many of his apostles, Apostle Paul, Peter, and John, and James, all dealt with those concepts. And it's not just a concept, it's a fact of reality, of the spiritual significance of how God has orchestrated his plan throughout history. Well, folks, that pretty well is what I'm going to have Mark read a passage of Scripture, and we're going to close out this discussion on politics, truth, or religion. Truth for God's elect will win. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When we sink down in despair and Satan comes to us and says there's no hope for us, then the question we should be asking ourselves is, who did Christ come to die for? He came to die for sinners. Am I a sinner who is fleeing to the cross of Christ? If the answer is affirmative, then there's another promise, and the promise is this: all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. All that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, we have talked a lot about the challenges of the wisdom of this world, and we talked about that scripture. We're going to look at a little different scripture tonight. And in my little conversation with my friend today, we talked about how that God is both a God of love and a God of justice and judgment. And people don't want to hear that today. They only want to hear about the love of God. They don't want to hear about God's justice. Mark, go to Jeremiah, the 51st chapter. Jeremiah, the 51st chapter.
I'm looking for it right now.
Okay. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Right after Isaiah is Jeremiah. Go to the 51st chapter. Now, this, to me, is a very telling chapter. It's speaking of the severe judgment of God against Babylon in revenge of Israel.
Jeremiah the 51st?
Yes. Jeremiah is talking about how that there's a perpetual sinning of Babylon. And we're going to read some of these verses.
There's a 52nd, but not a 54th.
51st chapter of Jeremiah. Okay, I want you to read the 6th verse there.
Flee out of the midst of Babylon, deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense.
Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad.
Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. How for her take balm for her pain, so be she may be healed.
Many times we have likened America to Babylon. Modern day America to Babylon. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her. Let us go even unto his own country, for her judgment reaches unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. Now, Mark, I want you to go on over to the 15th verse and read that for us.
He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heaven by his understanding.
When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures.
Every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them.
They are vanity, the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. Now, here's what God has, speaking through Jeremiah, says. Read verse 25.
Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyest all the earth. And I will stretch out my hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain.
In the 37th verse, he says, Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment and a hissing, without an inhabitant. This is what God is going to do to judge those nations who utterly forsake him. And but here's the promise on the other side. Here's the love of God shown to his people. Read verse 45.
My people, go ye out of the midst of her, deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord.
Well, is there hope for God's people?
Yes.
Yes, there is hope for God's people. there's hope for God's people who have been shown and granted mercy and repentance. And it's not over for God's people. We know that He will continue to show mercy and long suffering to His people. And Mark, I want you to go over to the 36th Psalm and I want you to read verses 25 and read verse 25 down through verse 30. We'll read that back and forth. You can start with verse 25.
Psalm
37.
I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread.
He is very merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed.
Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore.
For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off.
The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever.
Father, we thank you that the truth will prevail, and you are the personification of truth. When we see religiosity and religion and politics, help us to always flee to the rock, the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, which is yourself, Jesus Christ. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.